Good morning.
Good morning.
Are you guys in the Christmas spirit? I am. I got one more addition here too. I gotta get on there. Now we're really ready. How many are glad to be here worshiping today?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. It's a wonderful place to be. It is a wonderful, despite the craziness of the pastor, it is a wonderful, wonderful place to be. And I love being a part of this community, and I am so excited about what has happened so far in our Christmas season and what is yet to come. What is yet to come? I'm going to remind you all now. Next week, the 18th, it's the Children's and Youth Day, and they've got the children have a little skit they're putting on. And some of the high school youth have a little skit they're putting on, and some of the kids will be leading the worship. It's going to be a fun, fun day worshiping God and hearing the message about the birth of Jesus Christ. Are you guys excited about that? So excited that I hope y'all grab an extra business card out there and invite someone to church next week. Bring them along for that. Bring them to that. Also, you saw in your bulletin, was the Christmas Eve card. Should have been in there. And there's more of those out there at the Welcome Center, too. You can invite them with that. Tells them all about our lovely 4 o'clock Christmas service this year, Christmas Eve service this year. And by the way, it's called Light of the World. Am I remembering that correctly? Thank you, Lord. Light of the World for our Christmas Eve service theme. And it is going to be a lot of fun. So there's still a lot to do around here, and there's a lot of opportunities to bring someone to get to know us, but more importantly, get to know him. Amen? So I encourage you all to do that. Now, I'm hot, so I'm going to take that off, but I'm probably going to take this off before it's all said and done. But it is a great, great day today, and before we get into this week's message, the Story of Christmas sermon series, let's start with a Christmas memory from an old country preacher. And this guy was reminiscing about one Christmas service when he was a young preacher in a little country church in Tennessee. After the service, an 8-year-old boy named Charlie said to him, "When I grow up, I'm going to give you some money." "Well, thank you," the country preacher replied. "But why?" "Because my father says you're one of the poorest preachers we've ever had." I thought you'd all get a kick out of that one. It really has nothing to do with the sermon, but I thought you guys would get a kick out of it. Well, that particular memory for that preacher, of course, will be one he'll never forget, is my guess. But today in our world, Christmas tends to mean a lot of things to a lot of different people. To some, it's a time of shopping and spending. Anybody in Champaign yesterday? Yeah, don't. Oh my gosh, I don't. Ron, I remember why I left retail. I'm telling you. I am so thankful God brought me this way and got me out of that mess. Woo! Man, it was crazy. And for some people, though, besides shopping and spending, it's a time for eating and drinking and carousing. Others have it as just a time of traveling and entertaining. But what is the real meaning of Christmas? What message should Christmas convey to each one of us? Think about this statement for a second. To me, Christmas is. A friend of mine gave a Bible to someone who was going through a difficult time. The person was in a real need, and their life had been one disaster after another. But in all that time, there was never any, none whatsoever, concrete attempt to give their life to God and follow Him. As my friend gave a Bible to this person, he encouraged him to read it, and then he suggested that he might start by reading the Christmas story. I mean, it was that time of year anyway. The man looked at him with real surprise and said, "You mean the Christmas story is in this Bible?" Now, for those of you who know what the Christmas story is, the true Christmas story, and have read it and heard the Christmas story many times from Scripture, it seems incredible that someone would not know something that basic. But there is a growing ignorance of spiritual things in our country today as people attempt to separate their lives from any contact with God. Separate themselves as far as they can. Get a big gap between them and God as possible. So how do we keep the true meaning and explain Christmas in just a few words to someone? Well, we don't have to look any farther than our verse from Core 52 this week. Good old John 3:16. Let's read it together. For God so loved the world, he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. How many of you are looking forward to a week off from memorizing from Core 52, huh? Now, there are probably some of you who don't think of John 3:16 as a Christmas verse. And that's okay, we'll pray for you. But it is. For God so loved the world, he gave his only Son. What is the giving of the Son but a reference to the Christ child born to give his life as a ransom for the sins of the world? That is what Christmas is all about. It is the tradition that started, sweetens, and sanctifies all other traditions. It is the tradition that tells us love is not a human emotion worked up because of some gifts and games. Christmas as a celebration of Christ's birth is a tradition that passes down the good news that God's love came down for a visit. And in John 3:16, we learn from this one verse, first off, the magnitude of God's love. The vastness, the hugeness, the magnitude of it all. In 1 John 4:8, it tells us that God is love. And God, who is love, he truly defines love. He's the ultimate example of love. He shows us in this verse and in this story today, the Christmas story, the magnitude, the fullness of his love. We see the magnitude of God's love through the little adverb, so, which describes the manner of his love. It's not just that God loved the world, but that he so loved the world that he gave. He gave us his Son, but why did God give us his Son? Why would he do that? Why did he do that? Just go down one verse, verse 17. For God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him. He loved us so much to give us a Son that we would be saved and spend eternity with him. That is love. And Christ showed us that same magnitude of love by coming to earth as a man and willingly be the sacrifice for all of the world's past, present, and future sins. That's a lot of love. I love my wife. I love my daughter. Most of the time, I love my son. I'm just kidding. He's great. He's too much like me. That's the sad part about it. But I love him, right? You know? I love you guys. But this is on a different level. God's love for us is on a completely different level. And this verse encapsulates it all. It's all in this verse. You know, we also learn from John 3:16, the object of God's love. For God so loved the world. The world. The object is the world. John's use of the term world here, cosmos, is in reference to all the living things, to mankind, and not to either the system of the world but it's creation as a whole. It's everything. It's not about a system. It's not about an individual. It's about all people. Notice it's just not one group of people. He does not just love one particular nation or race. God, thankfully, is a huge God, and he has a very big love indeed. The scope of God's love covers the whole world, every nation, tribe, language, and person. We tend to read John 3:16 kind of distributively. God loved every individual in the whole world. We assume John 3:16 means God's love is roomy, it's expansive, and large enough for everyone, everywhere. And don't get me wrong, it definitely is. It's certainly true of all that. But that's not actually what the term the world here means in John 3:16. In the book of John, the world isn't just a numerical concept, all billions of people. It's an ethical concept, a moral concept. It's a way to talk about human beings rejecting God. You see, when John talks about the world, he's not just talking about those of us today who love him and trust God. More importantly, he's also talking about the mass amount of humanity saying to God, we don't want you. We don't want you to be our king. We want to be in charge of our lives. But God loves them too. Not just the ones who showed up today at church. Not just the ones who are going to go to him in prayer today. But all, even the ones who rejected him, he still loves them. God loves all, even those who don't believe in him or want him in their life. This promise, this good news in John 3:16 that we just read, just said out loud, is truly for all. Isn't that amazing? But this incredible verse could have stopped with those two, magnitude and object, but it doesn't. It also shows us the demonstration of God's love. He gave his only son. Romans 5:8 says, but God demonstrates his love towards us and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. In the New Testament, we learn that God has a son. Now, some of you don't think, well, yeah, I knew that already. But put yourself back in biblical time. God went dark. God went quiet for 400 years. Right? And then all of a sudden, he goes and talks to a bunch of lowly shepherds. We talked about that last week. And he shows up, and his son is born in a manger. He finally speaks again. But it's been 400 years. What's been going on? God shows up. You may be earlier with the earlier King James versions of John 3:16, where it says God's only begotten son. Well, the word translated only begotten is a word that means single, unique, one of a kind. You see, Jesus is not only God's only son, but he is uniquely God's son in a way that no one else could ever be. For example, when you put your faith in Christ, we know that God adopts us into his family, correct? We become his sons and daughters. But the Bible says this about Jesus. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. And so Jesus has always, always been God's son. He has always existed as God's son. Jesus is part of who God is. He shares God's very essence. He is God's one and only son. I can't imagine sacrificing one of my children for someone else. I can't imagine willingly be able to do it. I suppose it might be even more difficult if I had only one child. But God so loved the world that he gave Jesus, his one and only. That, to me, never stops to astonish me when I read the story of Christmas. I can't fathom what he went through as his plan for salvation played out. You see, it's one thing to talk about an Old Testament through prophets, because that right then it's just the plan. You know, it's just words, right? But now the time has come where he's got to send his son, and his son has to willingly go, which they both do, to earth to be born, live a life, a short life in all honesty, and then die a death on a cross. I cannot imagine what goes through Christ, or through God's head on this. I can't even fathom it. I mean, God, his son, of course, we just said willingly and only went to be born a helpless little baby in Bethlehem, to be born in a stable, and then as soon as he's born, pretty much, I mean, months later, he's on the run all the time. He's running because what? Herod is hunting him. Herod is hunting Jesus. This king's got to go, Herod says. And so he's on the run. They got to leave his land, his homeland, and hide. But it doesn't stop there. He grows up. He becomes a man. And he's hated and despised by many people. And then he had to watch as his son became the sacrifice at Calvary. You see, Jesus goes from a simple wooden manger to a cruel wooden cross. God demonstrated the immensity of his love the magnitude, the real love. That is what Christmas love is all about. You guys seeing what's happening in this one verse? We don't worship just some God. We worship the God. And He is so full of love that He's willing to let all of this happen for us. And John 3:16 doesn't stop. It keeps going. It tells us also, it shows us the recipient of God's love. And we mentioned it earlier. But here it specifically says, everyone who believes in Him. Notice what this verse says about those who receive this gift of eternal life. You see, even though God loves everyone, the whole world, whether they are for God or against God, or whether they want Him in his life or not, He loves everyone, but not everyone is saved. Only those who choose to believe in Christ. If you go further down in John 3 and look at 3:18, it says, the one who believes in Him is not judged. The one who does not believe has been judged already because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. The word believe in John 3 is talking about trust. It means believing that Jesus truly is God's Son and that He died on the cross for your sins. And then what? Trusting your life to Him. In John 3:16, it goes on to tell us that if you look at the word everyone here in this part of the verse, this word is particularly important because John is telling us that it doesn't matter who you are, it doesn't matter what you've done, it doesn't matter how badly you've sinned against God or against other people, it doesn't matter how old or how young you are, it doesn't matter your heritage, your economic standing, or your culture. God's love is not something you can earn or deserve. You receive it as a free gift simply by believing in what Jesus has done for you. If you will put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life, then you're a recipient of His love. Everyone can be a recipient of His love. This is what God wants. This is what God wants. But guess what? There's more. John 3:16 doesn't just quit there. It tells us about the intention of God's love. Why? What's the intent of this love? It's so that what? We will not perish. We won't perish. The reason God sent His Son, let's face it, we're lost. People were lost then and they are now. And we are all sinners. We've all broken God's law. We are separated from God because of our sin. God is just a judge who must punish sin. But the punishment for sin is death. And we're not just talking about physical death here. We're talking about spiritual death, eternal death. That's what the word perish means in John 3:16. It means to die in your sins, eternally separated from God and His love. God loves us. He doesn't want us dead, doesn't want us to die spiritually. He doesn't want us to be separated from His love. And so He gave, because He is love, His Son, with the intent of saving everyone who believes in spiritual death, who believes in what Jesus Christ did for us and why He did it for us. In Isaiah 53:6, it says, all of us, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. But the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on Him. Talking about Jesus. We've all sinned. We've all gone our way instead of God's way. We all deserve God's righteous punishment from sin. But God took our sins, laid them upon His Son, and Jesus paid the penalty of sin for us. The fruit of God's love, the intent of His plan, is our salvation. Man, this is a God who loves you, who loves me, who loves us. To go through all of this so that we could be saved? We turned our backs on Him. He says, that's okay. I love you. Come to me. Believe in my Son. All will be forgiven. That's His plan. Yes, because God is love. John 3:16 teaches us the magnitude of his love, the object and demonstration of God's love. It also teaches us who are the recipients of his love, and of course, the intention of God's love. And finally, it teaches us the duration of God's love, eternal life. He doesn't want us separated, remember? He wants us in relationship with him. He doesn't want to be separated from us. He wants his love to be around us forever. God's love endures forever. His love is different from the loves humans possess. God's love is not based on what we do, thankfully. When we talk about God's love, we are talking about what? Agape love. Agape love refers to an unconditional love. Nothing a person could do would ever cause God to love them less. His love for us will not weaken over time. His love is constant, it's strong, and has no time restraints. Can I get an amen? Is that not awesome? That not awesome? The unconditional love that God has for us endures forever. Look at these three verses. Psalms 136, 26. Give thanks to the God of heaven. His faithful love endures forever. 1 Chronicles 16:34. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His faithful love endures forever. And then let's read the last one together. Psalm 105. For the Lord is good. His unfailing love continues forever, and his faithfulness continues to each generation. Don't you love the promises in the Bible? And how much he loves us? Listen, if you're ever wondering, you're ever thinking, you're ever frustrated, you're ever, God, what, do you really love me? Go to his word. It's full of information in there about what he's done for us and how much he loves us. That's what it's there for. Scripture tells us time and time again that God is love. It's his love is never ending, and his love for us has no end. In fact, promises all who believe life, which means knowing God and being blessed with amazing pleasures and joys in his presence forever. But there's an important thing that we tend to forget about eternal life and this promise. We do not have to wait till we die to begin to experience eternal life. Amen. Eternal life starts the moment you become a Christian. God's Holy Spirit comes into your heart and you begin to fellowship with him, worship him right now. Not later, but now. We will have heaven one day. Don't get me wrong. And I'm looking forward to it. I really am. I think it's going to be, I'm jealous of so many people who went before me. But I'm telling you, we do not have to wait till we're in heaven to experience eternal life. We have it now. If you've accepted Christ, you know it. We have the hope. We know where we're going. Oh, we're not going to be physically here forever. But we're going to be with him and in his presence forever. Spiritually, we will be alive forever. That is how we live with eternal life today. It starts today. In John 3:16, it tells us about God's love. And I believe we can trim the message and the true meaning of Christmas down to just the one word, the most powerful word known to man. Love. That's Christmas. That started it. The cross ended it. So Satan thought, and an empty grave proved there was no stopping God's love. Amen? And we have that hope now. We can live with that now. We should live like we believe it. Amen? That's what Christmas is all about. There's a story about a school district that had banned using the name Christ in any of their Christmas programs. That wouldn't happen today, would it? Hey, I see. But yeah, this is crazy. The ironic part of it is that Christ couldn't be mentioned along with Christmas, but they could still use the word Christmas. What starts Christmas? What's the first line? Christ! But some people, some teachers caught on to that and decided that the holiday programs became things like Winter Festival. You see, you're all moaning. This is how I was when I read this. One music teacher, though, decided to include a presentation using the words Christmas love. Each of the 13 letters were drawn onto cardboard and prettied up and glittered and all that good stuff. And 13 children would each hold up a different letter spelling it out. They practiced it time and time again. And when it came time for the program, it was there for the whole town to see that came. And then all of a sudden, as they finished their little flip up of the cards, parents were pointing, people were rejoicing, children were giggling, the principal was turning red in the face because little Johnny, holding the seventh letter, had his upside down, and instead of Christmas love, it now read, his M turned into a W. Ha 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 ha! God works in mysterious ways. Christ was love, and he is. And he was born out of love to be the Savior of the world. The real Christmas story is the story of God's becoming a human being in the person of Jesus Christ. And why did God do such a thing? Because he loves us. Love. This is what John 3:16 teaches about Christmas. God loves all, and all who believe in the Son may find life and love in him. And that's why we celebrate Christ's birth. It's not merely another tradition of the world. It is the good news that God's love has come into the world, making a way for sinners who repent and believe to have life everlasting through the gift of his Son, all because of love. So this Christmas, enjoy the traditions passed down by your family. Do it. They're awesome. Mine are awesome. Man, I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to making my nephews work hard to get their gifts. I mean, I'm looking forward to that, you know. Make them take quizzes, love on their mom, all that good stuff just to get their gift. That's the fun part, you know, or the food, or just being with family. How many of you are looking forward to just seeing someone you haven't seen in a while, just getting with family, getting together with family? That's great. There's nothing wrong with those traditions. But do not trust them to satisfy your heart with love. Because only God's love and the gift of his Son can satisfy. And thankfully, that is good news for everyone. Today's simple takeaway is receive and respond. Receive God's love. Accept Jesus as your Savior. Respond to his love. Repent, be baptized, read the Bible, pray, trust in him. Fellowship with other believers. Give of your talents, time, and money for him. Serve him, serve others, and always share the good news of the gospel. MCC, let's make it a Christmas of true Christmas love.